Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Saving faith in Jesus Christ is not natural. It is supernatural. Salvation does not arise from something within us. It comes to us from God as a free gift to anyone that will accept it. Accepting this gift means that you will allow God to change you into an image of His choosing. Do you have that kind of faith? Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 3 and listen as we continue our study of verses 7 through 13 with Pastor Ray Viola.
The faith that saves us is not natural. It's supernatural. Salvation doesn't come from within you. It's given to you from without. It's a work of God. It's totally a work of God. Salvation is of the Lord. We don't create it. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's a work of God. You realize that? You and I are not here tonight on a Sunday night because we took some bright pills and got saved. God, in His grace and in His mercy, sent His Son to die on the cross for our sin. And there was a day in your life and in my life, humanly speaking, when the lights went on. Whoa! I see it. Did you just get progressively smarter? No. Here's what happened. I'll tell you what happened. God intervened. God reached down and He picked you out of that debt of sin, my friend. You're a miracle tonight if you're born again. You are a miracle. You are like, should the Lord tarry, you are like Aaron's rod that budded. Here you are, going around, doing your own thing. Walking in your own way, walking in your own understanding, thinking that you're okay. What changed that? What caused the change? I'm not okay. Well, humanly speaking, people were praying. People were witnessing. Divinely speaking, God intervened. Can you see that? It's a sovereign, almighty God who opens and no man can shut. He opened your heart. We read in the book of Acts chapter 6, it's 7:32, and I'm at point one. Somebody order about 4 sheet pizzas. We're going to be here for a while tonight. This is good stuff. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 16 that Paul was ministering, and there's reference to a woman by the name of Lydia whose heart the Lord opened. God did open heart surgery in you and me. And we're brought to our knees and we're brought to a place of brokenness. We say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Save my soul. And He in His almighty grace reached down. He did the work. I'm getting chills with a sweater on. He does it, doesn't He? Jesus is the what? He is the author and finisher of our faith. It's His gospel. It's His sacrifice. It's His word. It's His spirit. He does it. That's why we can't boast. The Bible says, he that boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. But let him that glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. How do we know him? We love him because he first, that includes generally speaking. But my friends, it's deeper than that. I love how Charles Spurgeon illustrates this. the sovereignty of God and human responsibility. You're walking down the street of a, and there's a church building, and you see on the marquee, "Whosoever will enter in." People are walking by, then decide to walk in, and then you follow these lines. The lines lead to the back of an altar, and then you walk down that altar. Walk down the aisle and you get to the altar and you realize chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. When you respond to the whosoever will, you realize you've been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Don't argue with it. Don't fight it. Rejoice in it. That's the truth. So what do we do with this? Do we just sit back and like some extremists say, well, if God's going to save whoever He saves, well, then we don't have to do anything. You know William Carey, the father of evangelism? He was a part of a very, very extreme Calvinistic group. And God was stirring his heart to go to India. And he went before that leadership board and says, you know, God's putting it in my heart to go to India to save those in India. And they said, Carey, go home and sit down. When God's ready to save the Indians, He'll save them. That is imbalance. And so William Carey went to India, was obedient to the Lord. You know why? The Lord tells us, you go, you witness, you preach to every man, to every creature. And who gets saved? It's the Lord's work. We plant, we water, He gives the increase. But we have to tell people who this Jesus is. Romans 10 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Which Lord? You just read that in India, and they're going to say, oh, Lord Vishnu. You read that in some other countries, they're thinking some other Lord. Qualify it. What Lord? Remember this morning we're talking about identity theft? You want to make sure that you and I are proclaiming Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, God incarnate. The one who died on the cross for our sin. The one who said in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then Paul says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what we're to proclaim. Good news. Glad tidings of good things. Saints, beloved, listen. Reaching the lost is the heart of Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38, we read, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus is ministering to multitudes. They're sick. They're brokenhearted. They're beaten up. And Jesus ministers to the multitudes and he says, pray, pray that the Father would send forth laborers into his harvest. In Luke chapter 10, we read in verses 1 and 2, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before his face into every place. In every city where he himself would come. And he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So the Lord wants us to pray. Lord, send forth laborers into his harvest. But he also wants us to be answers to that prayer. He wants us to be an answer to that prayer. I love that account of Jesus in John chapter 4. The Bible says how Jesus must needs go through Samaria. A Jew going through Samaria is not kosher. But why did Jesus must needs go through Samaria? Because there was going to be one woman at a well who had been used and abused by five husbands. She's at a well at a time when you don't normally go to a well. Jesus has a dialogue with her about water. What does that teach us? Always look for a point of contact to begin reference with people. Don't think it up. When you're witnessing, pray. If you're at a gym, chances are you're probably not going to talk about flowers. You know, you're there pumping the iron, or whatever, or you're on the exercise bike. Why do I say that? Because you see, Jesus, in John chapter 3, he's dealing with a religious wreck. John chapter 4, he's dealing with a moral wreck. John chapter 5, he's dealing with a physical wreck. And he approaches each and every one of them differently. Now, I'm not against the tract, the pamphlet, the Romans Road, the four spiritual laws. Those are good. But you just can't use them all the time. They don't... That's not God's way. It may be some of the time. And Jesus used this whole incident about the water and the well. The woman gets saved. And then she just crushes the whole, well, you have to take evangelism courses before you witness. Let's have a 3-month Sunday evening course on evangelism so that we know how to witness. When you get saved, you'll become an evangelist. She went and witnessed to all the men in the city. Imagine that. She goes back and says, I got great news. I met a guy that told me everything about my life. They're probably thinking, oh no, did he tell you about me? And then Jesus says these words. John 4, 34 and 35. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus says, my meat, my nourishment is to do the will of him that sent me. Now keep in mind, remember when the disciples came back, they came back with some food because Jesus was weary. What did he say? Here's a key. Here's a key. When you and I are serving the Lord, you get physically spent. You will get physically exhausted. But there is a spiritual revitalization. When you are witnessing, when you are working in the Spirit, Jesus said, my food, I feed off of doing the will of God. You and I get revived when we do what he calls us to do in the Spirit. Do you realize that? And then he tells the disciples then and to you and me, he says, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They're white. There's a harvest out there. I've set before you an open door. Now we can just sit here telling you, yep, that's right. There's a whole harvest out there. Yep, yep, yep. We can acknowledge it and do absolutely nothing with it. Remember what I was saying this morning, the open door. The door isn't the end. The door is the beginning. I set before you a door. We must walk through that door. Not just stand at the door. Say, whoa, it's pretty good in there. A lot of souls out there. Reaching the lost is the Father's heart. Reaching the lost is the heart of Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 56, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 says, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. 1 John 3, 8, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, the love of Christ for lost man. The love of the Father. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. You can't limit that. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And yet we read in the book of Revelation that Jesus is he that is holy, he that is true. He has the key of David. He opens and no man shuts, and he shuts and no man opens. I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it. And so here we are tonight as born-again believers, a born-again congregation, given by the Lord Jesus Christ the green light, the green light to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. But it's Him who determines where we go and when. Have you ever tried to go through a closed door? Ever tried to do that? Ever seen pictures of guys that, you know, they get up in the middle of the night, they forget that the bedroom door was closed. They come to church the next Sunday, they got a shiner. You know, there's a lot of evangelicals, they have spiritual shiners. Because in their right zeal, they try to go into doors that the Lord has not opened for them. We want to make sure that we hear from the Lord. You see, the real key to evangelism isn't so much the particulars, it's getting intimate with Christ. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Being led by the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit, being anointed by the Spirit. As I said this morning, remember in Acts chapter 16 that we read, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, they came to Mysia and were assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not allow them. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we had endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them." Did Paul have a desire to go to Asia? Sure. You think Paul maybe tried to persuade the Lord? "Lord, let me go." I'm sure he did. The Holy Ghost wouldn't let him. What's that? That's what you call a closed door. But as soon as one door is closed, see, Paul's heart was right. As soon as one door is closed, there is a man in Macedonia crying, "Come and help us." And Paul says, "Ah, now I know why that door was closed in Asia, because God's calling me to Europe." How many here tonight are of European descent? Oh, yeah. About 90% of us. Aren't you glad Paul didn't put down his head and say, "Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Asia. I don't care what you say." You see, we are the beneficiaries of Paul listening to the Lord. And it wasn't, listen carefully, it wasn't simply responding to a need. You and I can, every place we look out there, there is a need. But evangelism isn't simply according to need. Spirit-filled evangelism is according to a call. A call. "I've set before you an open door." Now, there may be one open door for Ralph and one for David and one for Dennis and one for every one of us personally. But it might be, how many times have you found yourself witnessing to somebody, sharing with them? This has happened to me just recently again, and praise God for it. Witnessing to people, sharing with them the Word of God, and it seems like you're getting nowhere. I mean, it seems. You don't sow the Word of God in vain. Then that very same person, some precious brother in the Lord, just says something that was shared with them, and all immediately they drop to their knees. And God said, "What'd you tell them?" "I shared with them, you got to be born again." I said, "You got to be kidding." "You know how many times I told that dude, you got to be born again?" He looked at me, "Yeah, right. Now, here's the thing. The Word of God doesn't return void. Some plant, some water. There is a timing factor, a providence factor. You know, we've tried to do evangelism in a lot of places. never been an open door for us. The Lord opened up a door for us in India. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, and there are many adversaries, but he's opened up a door for us. He's opened up a door for a couple that worship here to be involved in evangelism in Italy. He's opened up a door for a couple that worships with us down in Gospel for Asia. He's opened up a door. You may be opening up a couple of other doors for us. I got a call last week from a dear friend of mine, and he's talking about doing some evangelism in northern Iraq. Of course, that went over really good when I mentioned it to my wife. She simply said, do you ever consider going anywhere where they're not on a hostile nation list or they're not bombing somebody? But when God calls you, you go. You go, right? Now, so just pray for that. Pray for that for me, pray for that for my wife. Something about going to northern Iraq kind of like turns me on. I know. You're off your rocker. Yeah, I think it's great. We'll see. If it's the Lord, it'll happen. If it's not, I don't believe in crowbar evangelism. I believe we pray. We seek the Lord. Personally speaking, he just opens up doors for us. He does that. We need to be sensitive to those open doors, those open opportunities. Now, you guys laugh, but a lot of those open doors and opportunities are given to me at a grocery store. Why at Wegmans? I don't know. You know, my wife, my dear wife, sometimes will send me with a list to the store, and she'll say, no, honey, listen, I really need these ingredients for dinner. In other words, try not to be long. And if you're going to be long, call me. And I just love it. I love grocery shopping and praying. Lord, open up a door. Open up a door. If it's your will, open up a door. Open up a door. Open up a door. Sometimes nothing. Sometimes. And here's where it really challenges us. There's somebody that you don't know from Adam. And they look really distraught. You go, you okay? I mean, this is in aisle 10. They look at you. Are you okay? Can I pray for you? Huh? But we need to be listening to the Lord. I remember one time standing in front of the deli counter. True story. And all I did was say, I'd like to have a quarter pound of salami and a quarter pound of ham. And somebody says, oh, this was a few years ago, are you on the radio? I said, yeah. Boy, could I talk to you? Well, you know, I'm number 10 of 30 people. Go ahead, let's talk. You know what I'm talking about. It happens all the time. A waitress comes and says, can I help you? Yeah, you can. Can we help you? What do you mean? What can we pray for? She's got to come back now. Just in a natural way. Looking for those open doors.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Sila, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.